Well, Father, I just thank you and I praise you for the wonderful time of worship. And Father, I know that there was a sweet smell and essence under thy nostrils. And I know, Father God, you came down and you're supping with us. I know that the angelic host are walking to and fro throughout these chairs tonight, touching your people's lives, changing them, rearranging them, Father God. And Father, the prayers that they're praying are being answered. And Father, there's many of us in here tonight that need a miracle, and maybe more than one miracle. And we're believing for that miracle right now to happen tonight. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I know I promised you I was going to do another thing on sowing and reaping, but I had this message to do the other night, and God didn't let me use it, but it's about the gift of love. What God showed me was the reason why you people keep getting offended and wounded is because you really don't know how much God really loves you. If you really knew how much God really loved you, then what people would do or say to you would not upset you. And so we're just going to learn a little bit about the gift of love. 1 John 4:9-10 says, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Some of you didn't even know God existed whenever Jesus went on the cross, because that was over 3,000 years ago now, all right? And before you became born again, you really didn't understand the love of God. You really didn't even understand what the cross was all about. If you did, you wouldn't have went the way of Baal that you went. Because when you understand that somebody has literally laid down their life for you, that is pure, unadulterated love. And I don't see how you could ever reject that kind of love. We all talk about God's gift of love and how much he loves us. But how many of us really experience this love in our everyday lives? How can we intimately know that God loves us, and how can we prove it? Do you know that God loves you? Let me ask you personally, do you have firsthand experiential knowledge that God loves you? Now, I don't mean intellectual knowledge or head knowledge. I mean that moment-by-moment intimacy that only a loving father and child can enjoy. Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt this kind of intimacy with your Heavenly Father? You know, as I was typing this, I said, God, I really don't know how to make them believe that you love them. Because, you know, it's just something that you just know. And you know, God isn't speaking to you 24/7, but you just know he's there at all times. And if you just read the word, his Son died for you. That there is, I wouldn't have to have another thing said to me if that would be enough for me. That is unconditional love. That's somebody who loves you with every part of his being. So I really can't even teach you. I'm going to try to teach you tonight, but I really can't teach you that because you're going to say, well, I don't feel anything. No. All right, let's just say you're in love with somebody. You don't feel anything all the time. You're just happy and content because they're there. They might be in the kitchen and you might be in the living room, but you're just happy and content because they're there. You don't have to be speaking. It's just... And that's the way it is with God. When, you know, he's just there. He's not in the kitchen, you're in the living room. He's sitting there wherever you're at. He's in you. We all need to live in the security of God's love, no matter what our circumstances, no matter what our color, our race, or creed, our financial status, our marital status, and so on. If we really know that God loves us, then we can do anything. Why? Because we know who we are. And I keep saying, I know who I am in Christ Jesus. How do I know that? Because I read that in the Word. I read in the Word that I'm his child. Nobody taught me that. I read that. And so if I'm his child, then I have all the blessings that's in that Bible. And I even have the misery and the sorrow. But I have a father who loves me, a father who said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And see, you might have a husband or wife might promise you that before trying to get you to the altar. But when they have to get you to the altar, then they leave you and forsake you. But God doesn't. He is always there for you. How do you know that? Just stop and think about your life. Think about the things that went on with your life, and you really should be dead. But you're not. It's because your father loves you, and he's always with you. 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Without knowing this, we will not only be insecure, but will also have no identity. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Without knowing this, we will not only be insecure, but will also have no identity. See that? Before we can go any further in God's way of agape, his way of love, we need to know without a doubt, number one, that we are loved by the Father. I'm telling you that tonight so you can take that to the bank. Each one of you are loved by the Father. Number two, that he has laid down his life expressly to give us his love through Jesus Christ. We all know he did that. And number three, that he has called us to be his sons and daughters. He tells us we're not bastards. We are his sons and we are his daughters. Why can't you believe that? If the devil tells you you're no good and you're not anything, you take that and you run with it. So why can't you believe God when he said, you're my sons and my daughters and I love you? Before we go any further, I just read that, didn't we? If we know and have a living experience of these things, then we will have the confidence, all right, and trust to continually lay our wills and our lives down before him and love others as he desires. I'm going to tell you right now, guys, if you can't get it in your spirit and know that God loves you, that he loves you, that he loves you unconditionally, you might as well just not say, God, here I am, use me, because some of the assignments he's going to send on, you're going to say, you say you love me and you're making me want you. Well, he's not making you do anything. You want me to do this? Yes, I do. You're my daughter, and you told me to use you, and I'm using you. You didn't put a limitation on me. You didn't put a qualification. You just said, use me. Here I am. Use me. See, we get all excited when we're born again, and we open our big mouth, and we say, here I am, Lord. Use me. Right? And then all of a sudden, wham, the devil starts. And then God gives you some really hard assignments. Then you say, is this what this was all about? But it's all about love. When you get married, you know, you think you're marrying some queen. And all of a sudden you find out that queen was just a normal, everyday person. And they have flaws just like everybody else does. And then all your expectations go down the drain and you start looking for something else. But that isn't how God is. He knows you. He knows exactly what you look like. You know, he sees you naked. He sees you fully dressed. You know, he knows your mind. He knows everything about you. And he still loves you. He sees your tattoos. Sees all your piercings. And he still loves you. Well, if he loves me that much, then how come he lets me go through bad things? Well, your kids go through bad things and you still love them, right? Come on. If we know and have a living experience of these things, then we will have the confidence and the trust to continually lay our wills and our lives down before him and love others as he desires. You really need to get that in your spirit. Then we will have the confidence and the trust to continually. Because it's a continual thing, guys. It's just not a one-time deal. It's just every day. Lay our wills and our lives down before him and love others as he desires. And when you realize that God loves you, that he loves you, that he loves you, that he loves you, the very core of your being, and then he lets you go through some hard times, and you're laying in your bed at night weeping, you still remember that he loves you. He hasn't forsaken you. And he needs some vessel of honor to bring some souls into the kingdom. And some of those souls are not nice. They've been out there in the perverted world. They're messed up. And God needs a holy person to pull them up out of the fires of hell and to set their feet on solid ground. So he uses you. He loves you and he trusts you. And see, his love should be sufficient through a time like that. You know, a time when that person, it's still messed up and you're praying that they get right, and they might be praying that they get right and they still keep being wrong, you know, and they keep still being messed up and they can be ignorant and arrogant, whatever, and you're still supposed to love. And if you know that you know that you know that God loves you, then you'll be able to go through that. Even though you weep, you know, even though you weep, you can still go through it, because you know that deep down in your spirit, man, that God loves you, and this is just a soul that he is using you to bring out of the fires of hell. 1 John 3:16 states, "Hereby perceive and know we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." It didn't say for Jesus, did it? It said for the brethren. Somebody is not lovable. Somebody has to love them. Somebody has to show them the love of God in order to bring them up out of that dark well that they're in. So it says here, "Hereby perceive, know we the love of God." So we're supposed to know the love of God ourselves, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Foundation of our faith. We need to continually focus on the two great commandments in Matthew 22:37. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." It didn't leave anybody out there. Don't love the kid on the corner. It didn't say that, did it? It said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." I have been watching the reactions of the church, and I have come to realize that there is no way we can love God or others until we first know and experience God loving us. I've been watching, guys, and the reason why you do the dumb things you do is because you don't understand how deeply God's love is for you. You don't understand the depth of his love. If you did, you could endure what you have to go through. And you wouldn't always be upset with your brother and your sister. You would be loving them and knowing that God is taking care of them and God has changed them and rearranged them and God is bringing them through. I did not say your assignments would be easy. They will be difficult. Do you think Jesus' assignment was easy? His final assignment was very difficult. But he did it anyhow. So if he did it, we can do it too. Knowing that God loves us is the foundation of our faith. How can you have any faith if you don't know that God loves you? Without first being able to experience his love and acceptance for ourselves, we're not going to be able to move forward in our Christian walk. Without first being able to experience his love and acceptance for ourselves, we're not going to be able to move forward in our Christian walk. Come on. In other words, we can't lay down our lives to someone and love him if we don't really think he loves us. And the other person you're supposed to lay down your life for is Jesus. All right? We're supposed to be servants to our brothers and our sisters. This principle is true no matter how long we have been Christians and no matter how many Bible studies we have led. So I said, in other words, we can't lay down our lives to someone and love him if we don't really think he loves us. And this principle is true no matter how long we have been Christians and no matter how many Bible studies we have led. If you would go out and take a census and stand outside a church and ask people to come out, "Do you know that God loves you?" I can guarantee you about half of them would say no, they didn't know that. They're just going to church because that's just a thing to do. That's the problem with the church, because we go because everybody thinks that's the thing to do. We especially go on Easter so we can buy a new outfit and show it off, right? But it's not the thing to do. You go to church because you love God. You love his son, you love the Holy Spirit, you love all the Godhead, and he loved you and he died for you, and you want to go and you want to worship and adore him. If we know that God loves us personally, Then, number one, we will have the confidence and the trust to continually lay down our will and our lives to Him and love Him in return and become an open and cleansed vessel. Number two, we will have that daily experience of knowing His love, not only for ourselves, but also for others. Now, y'all know my story. When I first became born again, I was standing in the first church I went to after that, Spirit-filled, and God showed me a person's back. He showed me a wall built around their heart. And I said, God, what is that? He said, that's you. You've been hurt so much over your lifetime that you have built a wall around your hurt, and you're saying, I only let you come this far, and you can't come any further because I'm not being hurt ever again. And that was my attitude. I never let anybody in because of all the abuse and hurt that I went through all my life. And I was 50-some then. It's a lot of hurt and a lot of abuse. And God said, daughter, I can't use you unless you let me break this wall down. Your heart has to be open to be hurt in order for me to use you. So guys, and so anyhow, I started crying. I said, God, go ahead and tear the wall down because I want you to use me. And the wall crumbled. Then years later, here, God said, all right, daughter. And He showed me myself again. I had about 2 layers of brick started. He said, you're starting to build your wall again. He said, let me break it down. Don't let it go any further than that. You know, I've been going through an awful lot of hurt again. And you know, I'm going to tell you right now, when you open up your heart for God to use you, you will be hurt again and again and again. Because the enemy really loves to hurt you and wound you so he can get you out of God's kingdom. So if you think just because you're a child of God and He loves you that you're not going to be hurt, that's not true. In fact, I was hurt more after I became a child of God than I was before, if that was possible. Why? Because then once you become born again, then the enemy targets you. Because now he doesn't, before he didn't have to target me because I didn't know anything. I didn't understand anything. I was a good girl, but I didn't understand anything. And I was no threat to him. I would go to heaven, but I wouldn't tear his kingdom down. All right? But then once you become born again, and start hearing God's voice and understanding all these things, then you become a threat to Him, and then He has to stop you. And this is where He comes in with all of His afflictions and all the torments and all the pain and the heartache and the tears. If we doubt His love for us, then, number one, we won't have the confidence or the trust to lay down our will and our lives to Him, become an open and cleansed vessel, and therefore, number two, we will limit our ability to experience His love. See that? We will limit our ability to experience His love, both for ourselves and for others. Now, this doesn't mean that God is not in our hearts loving us. He is. It just means that we won't have that daily living experience, personal touching, loving intimacy of encountering and seeing God's handprint and His love at every turn. And this could be one of the main reasons why so many long-term Christians are not experiencing God's abundant life. It all goes back to the fact that many of us really don't know that He loves us. All right? You know, God doesn't come before your face every day and say, I love you, 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 you know. He doesn't say, you know, you didn't look at me right today, so you must not love me, so I'm not going to love you. You know, that's what human beings do, you know. Men will say, well, you wouldn't let me touch you last night in bed, so you must not love me anymore. I mean, this is the truth. What does that have to do with love? What is somebody in your face all the time telling you they love you? What does that have to do with love? You really need to think what real love really is. And if you know that God loves you, then you'll know what real love is. It's an intimacy that doesn't have to constantly be touchy, 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 and feeling. All that's good. I didn't say it wasn't, but I'm trying to say we have perverted the love. It's really lust that we're doing, and we call it love, and it's not love at all. All right? If it was love, you wouldn't see the junk that you see going on. And I think it's, you know, I was watching little Paul down here dancing, and I saw his father every now and then reach down and dance with him. And I thought, if Brett doesn't love that boy and let him see what a true father is, that boy's going to be messed up in his life. kids have to know that their father loves them. I don't know why, but it's the father thing. They have to know that their father loves them. They don't really care if the mother loves them or not. They want her to, you know, but it's the father that they reach out to. So all you fathers in here, please love your children. Some of your children are little snots, but love them. They need your love. They need to know that no matter what they do, you still love them. And sometimes when I used to have to pop Isaiah, honey, I love you, but I can't let you do this because you won't be fit to be around. And I said, I love you so much. Now he said to me, I love you so much. You know, but he's straightening out. You know, I can't let him run roughshod. I can't, you know, I just can't do that. Because your job is to train the children up in the ways that they should go, right? But I'm really, really reaching out to the Father's night. Please love your children. Please. I mean, there even could be a divorce happen in your family, but because you love that your children, they'll be stable. Because they knew that the love of a father, and they'll be stable. An example. I said this could be one of the main reasons why so many long-term Christians are not experiencing God's abundant life. It all goes back to the fact that many of us really don't know that He loves us. An example. Sandy was a young Christian girl in her late 20s, whom I met at a retreat in Northern California many years ago. She had been a Christian for a long time, but had come from a very troubled background of drugs, alcohol, homosexuality, physical abuse, and so forth. When Sandy came up to the retreat in the mountains, her life was falling apart. Her family and friends had let her down. Her relationship with her boyfriend had broken up, and there had been some gossip in her church. She just felt that there was nothing to live for anymore, so she had told God, I can't go on anymore. When you make that statement to God, believe me, you get His attention, and He makes sure that He lets you know how much He loves you. Somehow you have to show me this. This is still Sandy. Somehow you have to show me this weekend that you really love me. I can't continue this way. Saturday afternoon, day two of the retreat, Sandy walked the grounds of the camp feeling like she was emotionally dying. She was so despondent that it showed on her countenance. Many of the women saw her and immediately began to pray for her. In particular, one brand new believer named Jody developed a special burden to pray for her. That evening, we had communion. Sandy, by this time, was totally at the end of her rope, and she told God that she was going to refuse to take the communion cup until He somehow showed her that He loved her. Now, in general, it's not scriptural to give God an ultimatum like this, but God knew Sandy's heart and the desperate state that she was in, and He loved her. After everyone had taken communion and had left the auditorium, Sandy moved from her seat in the audience up to the communion table. She quietly knelt down in front of the table, folded her arms on the top, and put her head down. She was determined to stay there until somehow she felt God's love. She was determined to know God's love. People don't do that daily. Well, you just don't love me. that's they twist their mouth all up. I could pop them when they do that. And they don't even give God a chance to show them how much He loves them. After she had knelt there for almost an hour, the doors in the back of the auditorium opened and someone came in. Sandy couldn't see who it was because of the L-shaped room. The woman who entered the room didn't see anyone there either, so she quietly moved over to the fireplace, knelt down, and began to sing. The fireplace was still out of view from Sandy, but Sandy said later that this woman sang like an angel. Sandy kept her head on the communion table for at least a half hour. The woman continued to sing. Finally, Sandy couldn't stand it any longer and came around the corner towards the fireplace to see who it was. The young girl singing seemed startled at first, but then in a somewhat authoritative voice, she told Sandy, "Sit down. God has sent me to you." Absolutely shocked, Sandy sat down and then began to share. The singer was Jody. The Lord had laid Sandy heavily upon Jody's heart all weekend, but because of Sandy's hardened and intimidating countenance, Jody had kept her distance. After the Saturday night communion, Jody had gone to bed. She was almost asleep when God prompted her to get up and minister to someone who needed Him in the main sanctuary. Never dreaming it was Sandy, Jody rolled over and tried to ignore the Holy Spirit's voice, but because no peace would return, she finally obeyed, got up, put on her robe, and went to the auditorium. See how God moved upon somebody? When she arrived, there was no one there, but the Lord made her stay and wait and finally prompted her to sing. When Sandy finally did appear around the corner, Jody said at first she was scared to death, but she quickly gave her fear to God, and he told her what to say to Sandy. Jody and Sandy stayed up all night sharing. They cried together, they hugged, they prayed, and they laughed. God had in his unfathomable way shown Sandy the extent of his love for her, and he used Jody, this precious brand new believer, as his angel to do so. See that? The next morning, both girls got up in front of the entire women's group and shared what had happened. There wasn't a dry eye in the audience. You know, if you're determined to find out how much God loves you, God will show you how much he loves you. Personally, knowing that God loves us is the bottom line. Personally, knowing that, not me telling you, but you have to personally know that God loves you. It is the only foundation, the only building pad our whole spiritual house can be built upon. We can't lay down our lives to someone if we don't think they really love us. Just think about your marriage. You don't want to be intimate with somebody that doesn't love you. You really don't want to do that. So we can't lay down our lives to someone if we don't think they really love us. And we're talking about Jesus. No fear in God's love. I think Sandy is typical of so many of us. In our haste to be like Jesus, we have forgotten the first basic step, which is to really know the extent and depth of God's love for us personally. If we really knew how much God loves us, there would never be any reason to fear what he might allow into our lives. See that? If we really knew how much God loves us, there would never be any reason to fear what he might allow into our lives. We would have the confidence and the trust to continually abandon our lives into his care, because we would know that he loves us and that he will be faithful and trustworthy to take care of us no matter what. Isaiah 49:16 says, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls, which is our souls, are continually before me." An example, the most beautiful example of someone who knew that God loved her and therefore didn't fear what he allowed in her life. See that? The most beautiful example of someone who knew that God loved her and therefore didn't fear what he allowed in her life was a precious sister in the Lord named Diana. Diana was only 2 years old in the Lord when she was diagnosed with leukemia and given only 6 months to live. At the time, she had a beloved husband who adored her and two precious children, Hillary 3 and Stephanie 1. Diana, however, knew that God loved her and that he would not allow anything into her life that wasn't father filtered. Look at that again. Diana, however, knew that God loved her and that he would not allow anything into her life that wasn't father filtered and that wouldn't eventually bring him glory. So throughout her ordeal, no matter what the circumstances were and no matter how much pain she was in, she continually chose to trust her God and lay her will and her life down to him. She was invited to teach a Bible study during those last 6 months of her life because everyone who knew her saw an intimacy with Jesus that was unique and special. As I was reading this example, I thought about Neil Russell and his wife. You knew that woman sat before the Father. And the last Thursday before she died, when I went there, I walked in that room and I said, "You've been in the presence of the Father, haven't you?" And she said, "Yes, I have." And God spoke to me. She just came back from a visit with me in heaven. It was awesome that day. But the whole time I knew her, by her countenance, you could tell she was intimate with her Father. Now, if it had been you or I who were asked to teach, I'm sorry, she was invited to teach a Bible study during those last 6 months of her life because everyone who knew her saw an intimacy with Jesus that was unique and special. Now, if it had been you or I who were asked to teach, we might have chosen to spend those precious months at home with our families, but not Diana. She prayed about it and felt strongly that God wanted her out there sharing with her friends exactly what he was doing in her life. What incredible faith and trust she had. This is a woman dying of cancer and very sick. The Bible study instantly grew to about 50 people because we all saw in Diana a personal relationship with Christ that none of us had. See that? At the time, I had been a Christian about 15 years, and yet I had never met anyone like Diana. She loved God, and it was apparent to all of us that God loved her especially. Her life and walk reflected that knowledge. Does your life and your walk reflect the knowledge that you know that God loves you? That's a challenge to you all tonight. Diana's leukemia was diagnosed in June, and by November she was permanently confined to the hospital. At Thanksgiving, I wanted to give her something to show her how much I loved her and how much she had ministered to my life. That day, I needed to run to the pharmacy to pick up some medication for my 3-month-old daughter. I thought it also might be a good time to get something for Diana. On the way to the store, I prayed and asked God to point out something that he had in mind for Diana, that perfect love gift to communicate his love to her, his love to her. I quickly got the prescription. On the way out of the pharmacy, I noticed a cute little bird's nest, all done in fall colors with 2 sparrows sitting in the middle. Well, I just knew it was for Diana, so I quickly bought it and raced home. On the way home, however, I looked down at the little bird's nest sitting in my lap and began to wonder about the appropriateness of this gift. I asked God, is this really what you had in mind for Diana, a bird's nest? The scripture that immediately came to me was Matthew 10:29. Are not 2 sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Excuse me. Fear ye not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Well, I was excited because that scripture fits so perfectly, so I wrote it on a little card, put it with the nest, and asked my Chuck when he got home to deliver it to the hospital for me. About a half hour later, Diana called, and she was crying. Oh, Nancy, she said, I love the bird's nest, and I know it's from God because he always tells me not to fear. But, she said, what you don't know and what no one else knows except for God is that I'm losing all my hair. And God tells me right here that he loves me so much that all the hairs on my head are numbered to him. Isn't that awesome? That's our faithful and loving Father who is interested and concerned about every detail of our lives and who wants to personally communicate his love to each of one of us. My precious friend Diana went home to be with the Lord on Christmas Day 1974. She touched more lives in her short life here on earth than many Christians I know who have lived long and healthy lives. Diana made audio tapes at her church in those last few months that I know reached hundreds. In 1995, Diana's family found out that I was still talking about my precious friend Diana in my seminar, so they decided to mail back to me that 25-year-old bird's nest with the 2 little sparrows. God prompted me to pass it on to another dear friend who is also battling cancer. She, like my dear friend Diana, has no fear about what God has allowed in her life because she too knows experientially that God loves her. So we said, God, how come you're making let me be sick? You know what I'm saying? But these two women knew that God loved them and knew that if God was allowing something into their lives that wasn't good, it was for a purpose. I wished each one of us in here tonight would understand that. Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you. When you walk us through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord thy God, and you are precious in my sight, and I have loved you. Do you believe that scripture, don't you? Let's read it again. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you. When you walk us through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord thy God, and you are precious in my sight, and I have loved you. God's always with us. I don't care what he allows in our life. He's always with us in that thing. One time, I was going through a valley, and I was crying out to God, and he said, daughter, I'm in the valley with you. I'm holding your hand. I will not leave you in this valley by yourself. You and I can walk through this valley, and we can come out on the other end together. And that encouraged me and strengthened me, and I was able to go ahead and go through the assignment that he had called me on, and I called a valley thing, and I could go ahead and do the thing he called me to do. Why? Because I know that my Father loves me. Maybe it's because when I was a little girl going to a Baptist church, and I had the sweetest Sunday school teacher. She always said, Barbie, she said, if you don't ever remember another thing in your life, always remember that Jesus loves you. She knew my background. She said, if nobody else ever loves you, Jesus loves you. And I guess she ingrained that in my little spirit at a young age. And, you know, it just stayed there, and I just knew he loved me. Everybody said, how do you know that? And I said, I just know he does. You know, it's just cemented in there. And, you know, and I tell Gabriel and Isaiah both, if nobody ever loves you, Jesus does. Always remember that Jesus loves you. I want them to understand somebody loves them. Somebody loves them. Because we all know how dark the world is, do we not? We all know it's cruel. And if we don't know that somebody loves us, that darkness is going to take us under. But if you know that somebody loves you, I'm going to tell you right now, you can battle any storm that comes your way. And that somebody I'm talking about is God. Hope for the future. We can't go further in God's way of agape until we know without a doubt that God loves us and that he will never let us down no matter what occurs. Experiencing God's love is the only thing that will give us a consistent hope for the future. You know, when my mother passed away, we were very close, very close. And I was really having a hard time with it. And I said, I just wish I could see my mom one more time, Lord. And I was up a preacher one night, and she always sat right there with that young lady sitting. And I looked up there, and there she was sitting, smiling at me. She said, it's okay. You know, and that's a God that loves you. That's a God that loves you. And I was able then to come through that thing. But I don't care what you're going. I don't care what you're going through. God will place something in your life that will encourage you to keep on going, because he loves you. And he does not want you to fall. He does not want the enemy to be able to take you out because of something that he's allowing. And the reason why he's allowing these things in your life, we all know that because of what happened with Job. Because he has to show the enemy that we're not going to leave him. And it doesn't matter how much hardship we go through, we're not going to leave him. We're going to be right there with him. Hope, which leads us to faith and belief and the ability to trust God in everything, even though we can't see or understand where he is leading. All right? Experience God's love is the only thing that will give us a consistent hope for the future. Hope, which leads us to faith and belief and the ability to trust God in everything, even though we can't see or understand where he is leading us. If you really think, if you stop and think, everybody in this room, because they, either in the past or maybe right now, you really don't know where God's leading you. You really don't know why he has you in the place he has you in your walk with him. But it's because he loves you. And because you know he loves you, that you have the ability to go ahead and walk that walk on out. You know, my grandson, for about 2 years now, he's been a mess. And him and I have been very, very, very close. And everybody's always been jealous of our relationship. And so the enemy worked real hard through another individual to break that love, you know, to stop us from loving one another. Well, it worked for a season with my grandson because he got to the point he hated me. But God told me, you love him no matter what he does. You love him. He needs to know that you love him. At all costs, you love him. And there was times, I'm going to be honest, I did not want to love him because he got really super ignorant a lot of times. But as I loved him, and as I even told him I loved him, even though when he was in his dregs, I could see a glimmer of hope come into his eyes that he was going to make it through this hard time he was in. He's still not out of it, but he's coming out of it, and I'm excited because God has told me what's really going to happen, and I'm excited because if I hadn't kept loving him, if I hadn't kept telling him I loved him, I don't know where he would be today, because everybody else had turned against him. Everybody else telling him it's no good and everything else. And see, the enemy was trying to destroy him because of his walk he has with God. because he used to preach God's word. He has charisma too, you know, and he has a heart of gold. And the enemy wanted to destroy all that, and he just about did, but he didn't. And God even told him, because of your love for him and because of my love for you, I'm not going to allow the bad things to happen to him that should happen to him. So if you love somebody, it's because of your love for them that God, and then because God loves you, God's going to bring them through some terrible times. Why are we so selfish and self-centered? Why can't we love others even though they're being really, really mean, being unlovable? What's in your character that you can't love people? You need to really stop and think about that. We don't have any right to not forgive somebody. We don't have any right to withhold love from anybody. We don't have any right to do that. We don't have any right to hate somebody because they've come against us. We just don't have that right. Where am I at, Nancy? God's love. God's love helps us endure, persevere, and hang on through the trials and the pain and the suffering. Hope in God's love is what will give us the faith to look beyond the current situation. Hope in God's love is what will give us the faith to look beyond the current situation, beyond the horrendous problems, and look to Christ for our final victory, just as Diana did. You know, face that some of you are going through trials. Some of us are going through trials right now that if we didn't know God loves us, we would not be able to go through that thing. We would opt to walk away. But because we know that God loves us and that he's with us and he's going to see us through it, he's not going to leave us in the middle of it and just abandon us. We can go on and we can do the thing he's called us for. They're hard things. Right now, God isn't asking you to do anything easy because we're living in a dark time and people are dark. And so whenever he gives you assignment, the people that he gives you assignments, you know, the people that are at your assignments are dark. And the enemy has them bound. And God's love is the only thing that's going to unbind them. There's some people you're not going to be able to convince that you love them. I don't care what you do. So don't try to stand in your head and make them believe you love them. You just go ahead and be God's servant. You just do what you have to do, you know, to live. And you don't suck up to them. Don't do that. But you don't be ignorant to them and you don't cast them aside. You just keep loving them. Okay, if we know, is that where I'm at? If we know without a doubt that we are loved by the Father, then there is always hope for the future. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, which is God's love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." Now here's Chuck Pierce's story. He says, "I look forward to each weekend. Those Fridays became my Sabbaths. Each one became a time of healing. I was getting delivered from being anxious, performance-minded, and a workaholic, all of which I had used to cover over the real issues in my life." See that? "I was getting delivered from being anxious, performance-minded, and a workaholic, all of which I had used to cover all the real issues in my life. My health also began to shift for the better, whereas before I had suffered with many chronic issues, severe allergies, heart and blood pressure issues, and mainly overwhelming migraines. I felt the Spirit of God direct me on a daily basis. One day I was driving to work and suddenly God's presence filled the car. He began to pour his love out on me. The love was so overpowering that I could not drive. I pulled to the side of the road in a busy Houston suburb and said, 'Lord, your love is so overwhelming. What have I done to deserve this love?'" Now listen to what he said here. God began to pour his love out on me. The love was so overpowering that I could not drive. I pulled to the side of the road in a busy Houston suburb and said, "Lord, your love is so overwhelming. What have I done to deserve this love?" He answered immediately, "This was how much I loved your dad." I was shocked. I knew what we had lived through. He then said, "Receive what he never experienced." See, his dad could not receive the love that God wanted to give him. I saw God's love. I saw how he loves us no matter what. His love is pure and clean. I saw and experienced the depth of his love that day that changed me. you know, if you're really seeking, saying, God, how do I know that you love me? I guess Larry asked God that one time many years ago, and God said, because I've given you the best gift I have in heaven. I don't have anything, you know, that was me. I don't have anything better I can give you. He was telling him, that's how much I love you. And, you know, and Larry was messed up when I married him, so here was little, you know, me, you know, getting into that, and I had to walk through that. And it was hard because I didn't understand nothing. But once I started understanding, you know, how bad people can be bound up, then it was easy. And I said, God, why didn't you tell me about all this before you asked me to marry him? He said, because if you had known all this, you wouldn't have married him. So he said, but I knew once you married him, you would stick to it and you would love him and you know, and stay there for him. So, you know, even though God's asking you to do things that you don't understand, God knows all things. He knows all things. And some of you sit in here, you know, and you're so hateful. And you're so bitter. And you know, and you know, if you think somebody's coming against you, you get ignorant. Why? That's not a child of God. I see that in my own home, and I think, how can you act like that? How can you live with yourself? You know, that's demonic. That's the Antichrist. How can you live with yourself and still say, I go to church? Or I love the Lord. You really don't, or you wouldn't act like that. I'm telling you, there's a standard in your life that you have to raise up. I'm just hearing God say this. And that standard is to love and to be like Jesus. Jesus loved us. Even when Jesus hung on the cross, you know, the criminals on both sides, you know, he said to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, when they were crucifying him. He went through an awful lot of pain. But he said, Father, forgive them. We can't even do that, can we? With my first husband, he kept doing wrong things. And I kept saying, God, forgive him. One day he said, don't you ever say that to me ever again. Because I would say, God, brother, please forgive him, because he really doesn't know what he's doing. And he knows exactly what he's doing. He calculates everything before he does it. Don't you ever come to me and say, forgive him, because he doesn't know. He's saved now, but at that point he wasn't. So you see, God will let you know. He lets you know all things. That's the kind of God I serve in here. I was taking a shower, I think it was yesterday, and all of a sudden this song rose up in my heart. Excuse me, I told my husband, I sure wish I had a recorder, because it was a beautiful song about the glory of the Lord. And somebody could have made that, you know, somebody could have sung that, but I forgot it. But it was powerful. It was beautiful. And I'm just stepping into the shower, and all of a sudden his love just drenched over me, you know, and I just started singing, here come this song. I didn't have time to run over and put it on the computer because I'd been late for church. But see, this, I want you guys to know, this is how God is. Just all of a sudden some of you already know this, some of you experience this. He just pours himself out on you. And sometimes you can be in a rotten mood. And he comes and he pours his love out on you just to let you know, hey, you know, it's okay. I'm here. You and I can do this thing together. See, we forget that we have him with us to do things together. We think we're doing everything by ourselves, and we don't do anything by ourselves if we follow God. He's always by our side. You young girls, you know, you upset me. You know, you fuss and moan and groan and complain. And, you know, if you just really knew how much God loved you, you wouldn't care if you never, ever talked to another boy in your life. You wouldn't care what people said about you. You wouldn't care how you had to live, because you would be happy because God loves you. So you haven't come to the full knowledge of how much God loves you, or you wouldn't be all upset all the time. But my life was not easy. But I didn't do the things you kids did. People made fun of me because I wouldn't date. They said I was a lesbian. I didn't know what that was. So then, you know, somebody said, you know what they called you? I said, I don't even know what that is. So it didn't bother me any, you know. But, you know, they ridiculed me all the time. I wouldn't smoke and wouldn't drink, you know, wouldn't go out. I just didn't care to do all that stuff. And so they would walk down the hallway and just deliberately come in my face just to ridicule me. That didn't bother me. My Sunday school teacher told me Jesus loves me. And that's all I guess I needed to know. I didn't care if you loved me or what you thought of me. Jesus loved me. Amen. You say, there comes a Snyder kids. They stink. They don't have enough clothes. Their shoes have holes in the bottom. You know, when you wore cardboard in your shoes, because you couldn't afford shoes. I didn't care about that. You know, I just was loved, knew the Lord loved me, and I loved the Father. You kids have so much, and you complain. I want you tonight to know that God loves you. This is what God told me. You won't see this on the screen. There are some of you in here tonight that God has been trying to show you how much he loves you, and you have been like Chuck Pierce's dad. You won't accept God's love. You won't accept God's love. God is asking you to have a change of heart and receive that love tonight. The reason why I can tell you you don't accept God's love is because you get too upset too easy. You're always fussing and moaning, groaning, and complaining. Everybody's wrong except you. And then you get that attitude, and you get that ugly look in your face, and your face turns red and demonic, and you huff and you puff, and you blow the house down. I watch that all the time in this church, and I said, where's the love of God in all this? If we're supposed to be a hospital, and that's what we're supposed to be, if we're supposed to be a refuge in the midst of the storm, how are we going to be all that if we have people in here acting like that? See, because our foundation is, but we're the Philadelphia church, you know. The Philadelphia church was known for their love. And I asked God, he said, I haven't changed my mind. You're the Philadelphia church. You remain the Philadelphia church. And he said, I want love in the house of God. So this is what God said. There are some of you in here tonight that God has been trying to show you how much he loves you. And you have been like Chuck Pierce's dad. You won't accept God's love. That's a shame Chuck Pierce's dad died not knowing that God loved him. God is asking you to have a change of heart and receive that love tonight. Do you want to go on living the rest of your life ignorant? Because when you don't understand that God loves you, no matter what, you'll be ignorant because the Antichrist will remain in you and he will make you act up. Come on. The altar's open. God wants to show you how much he loves you.